The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Whirlpool kitchen appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy two or three select major appliances. And when you buy four or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your kitchen's unique needs and style. Shop Whirlpool 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
So Carver High is really excited about that we're going on satellite radio, because I know it's true, because we're going on Sirius XM on January 7th. Now, I know that may not excite some of our listeners or affiliates or some of the suits or anything like that, but just get over it. It's not that big of a deal. We're on every kind of radio known to man. We're on great networks, great radio stations, great companies that we work with, our partners, everything's great. But Carver High is a different breed altogether when it comes to this stuff, because, you know, he had off a couple days for his daughter's birthday and everything, and he saw some of his friends in radio that were on where we used to work, right? Like all these powerful people, very just huge talents. And Carver High, you know, was, you know, they all admire their work so greatly. They're just geniuses, just incredible talents. I mean, just like, I mean, above and beyond anything we'd ever know in our lifetime. So Carver High was near them the other day. And then, like, one thing led to another, and they started arguing about, you know, who's better at doing what. And then Carver High just got up and got in his car and gave them all the finger and drove off. And just because he's like, we're going on Sirius. We're going to be on Channel 204, taking over. We're going to be on in New York. We're better than you. Screw you. Then he gave him all the finger and drove away and sped off and just shredded tire in the back end of his car, just right in New York City, just screeching like in a movie. He drove like sideways down the road, and then his car got back to straight. And he just put his hand out the window and gave him a gigantic bird. Needless to say,
it was an extremely socially distanced conversation. But yes, that's the conversation that I had with them.
They're like, oh, what you guys think you're I can hear them now. Oh, you think you guys are, you know, what are you doing on Sports Grid Radio? What do you guys think, you're special or something? And then, you know, we're over here. We're the king of New York. And then Carver High said, not for long. We're going on Sirius 204. We're going to be on in New York and everywhere else in the Southern Hemisphere. You're on here, and they can't even hear you in Connecticut. You think I'm kidding? Like, I live 25 minutes from Manhattan. I can't even hear it.
You're not kidding.
You think I'm kidding? Like, I'm not even kidding.
No, I know you're not kidding. I'm well aware of the capacity of the sticks.
Their crappy signal.
Station. Yes.
Their crappy signal is so bad. Like, I live 25 minutes from Manhattan, and I can't even hear the news on the radio. It's so bad. I can't hear sports, none of it, because it's so bad. Now, we don't have that problem, right? Here, A, we're on Mightier 1090. The signal is like, it's like a porno. It's so huge. It's just so unbelievable, their signal. It's like a porno.
A rocket ship.
And not Elon Musk's rocket ship that crashed today. Did you see that?
I did not see that. No.
Yeah, his spaceship rocket went up and then it came tumbling down and blew up in a million pieces. It crashed. It they had a crash landing. The thing exploded into 5 million pieces. There was fire everywhere. That was the radio signal where we worked, not the one we have now in L.A. I can tell you, yeah, we welcome our radio affiliates. I had to listen there and take my earbuds out because I heard some chaos. And what it was the signal that we used to work at that you can't hear crashing to the ground like the Elon Musk rocket. And then our signal in San Diego near Tijuana, on Mightier 1090, that 77,000 watt blowtorch of love, like Debbie Does Dallas style. It's so gigantic that, like, you can literally hear it. I mean, forget Vegas. You can hear it. I think you can hear it in, I told you, heaven and hell, right? And then now we're going to be on satellite where you can hear it everywhere in the Southern Hemisphere. You can hear it in the Caribbean. You can hear it crystal clear. Like, you go to the Caribbean, you're in St. Martin, land on the beach in Orient Beach, and literally the south of France, right? And it comes in perfect. Meanwhile, I live 25 minutes from Manhattan, and I can't hear anything. Literally nothing. I'm like, here's what it's like listening to the station we used to work at. We're talking about the Mets and Jets today. It's so bad. It's so embarrassing. It's like, I mean, you know, the guy that is in charge of that tower, they should have fired him a long time ago because you can't hear the stations, right? So there you go. Hate me all you want. I tell it like it is. That's the thing about me. They hate me because I tell it like it is. They all hate me because I just tell it like it is, and they know it. They know I'm right. They hate it. It's the same thing as the refs. They know I'm right. No one likes hearing from me because I'm a loudmouth with a gravelly voice, and I'm right all the time when I'm just crucifying people. Anyway. Just so you know, we love all of our stations, all of our affiliates, all of our networks we're on equal footing. Everything's on equal footing. Carver High, did you see the Mightier 1090 has a new, they brought back a legendary
I saw this
fishing show. Very popular.
Yes, very strong effort on the Mightier 1090. Very strong.
I mean, they're getting just a tremendous amount of publicity to the fishing show. I'm excited for them. That's great. Station keeps getting better. I think that's on Saturdays and Sunday mornings. You know, Carver High and I have always been a big fan of going and catching schnook. So you can listen to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, everyone. It's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. So, yeah, Patriots, Rams, let's go back to that conversation. Do you think they'll cover the 5.5, or do you think the Rams beat the Patriots? Are you a buyer in the Patriots after you saw them kick the Chargers' ass 45-0 in that building?
I am not a buyer on anything with the Patriots. I can't take what anybody does to the Chargers seriously. It was a, you know, they got their doors blown off. There was multiple special teams touchdowns. Very strange game that ended 45-0. They're 6-6. I don't think that they, I know that they're going to not say this. I don't think that they're in the mix for any kind of playoff shot. I mean, they're two games out with four to play. I like the Rams tomorrow night. I think they cover the 5, 5.5, whatever it ends up with. Rams are a better team. Now, there wasn't any travel for New England. I was mentioning this to you last week. Of course, you know, these East Coast teams, because the AFC East is playing the NFC West this year, both sides have had to go back and forth in planes to play all these East and West Coast games. But, of course, Bill Belichick and the Pats, they get a break. They scheduled their two LA games within 4 days of each other, so they just got to stay out there. That was really nice of the NFL scheduling department to do that to them. So there's no travel. The Patriots haven't gone anywhere. I just think the Rams are better, and the Rams are they could see this division in their sights. You know, Rich was saying it. You said it. There's a hard schedule. They've got four games left. The Jet game next week, fine. You want to chalk that as a win. I think, Scott, they need to win two of those other three games, and they're going to win the division. They get to 11, they're winning the West. And tomorrow night is a winnable game at home, Thursday night football. Go get it done, and then you beat the Jets next week. You'll be 10-4 going in those last two games. And if you could just split them, you'll win the West. I'm pretty sure of it. I like them tomorrow night. I think they get it done.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Let me ask you this question. The Ed Orgeron, the self-imposed bowl ban for LSU this year. So here's my question. They're in all kinds of trouble, the LSU football program, for cheating. And the whole athletic department's in shambles because they cheat. And the NCAA is going to come down on them, right? And you know, Joe Burrow got out of there with his championship. They all got out of there with their championship. And now
all 30 guys that got drafted last year, all 30 of them.
And now the whole thing's crumbling down around them, right? And so he says that they're not going to go to a bowl game this year. Well, here's a newsflash for you. Now, I understand this year that any team can go to a bowl game. Doesn't even matter what your record is, right? But that's absolute BS. In my opinion, you cannot tell me under any circumstances whatsoever that LSU deserves to go to a bowl game at 3-5. When you are two games under 500, you need to go eat a bag of Doritos with your fat girlfriend. You're not going to a bowl game in my world. Who in their right mind invites them to a bowl game with the way they've played? They get their ass beat every week they play. And then he says, we're not going to go to a bowl game this year because we're going to self-impose this bowl ban on our program. Like, who are they kidding that they're like trying to handle their own cheating internally? Like, we don't care about your self-imposed bowl ban. What we want is the NCAA to crucify you for cheating. That's what we want. We want someone to hand you, slap you with a probation where you don't play in a bowl game for 5 years. You know, if all you do is cheat, you should go down with the ship, right? I don't see one reason in the world. You tell me what it is. Do I feel sorry for the kids that play at LSU because their program cheats? No, I don't. You know, if you're there and you go there and you're involved and they're cheating, you're any part of it whatsoever, which if you're there, you're cheating, you're part of it, right? So they always say, don't blame the kids. I'm like, why not? They're in there cheating. They're all part of it. Like, I have a big problem with LSU trying to act like they're showing the world how concerned they are about their own cheating. So they ban themselves from a bowl game. There's not one bowl game on the face of the earth that they deserve to be in, including bowl games that have been eradicated off the face of the earth because of the COVID. All the bowl games they've canceled, that's the bowl game that LSU should go to, the Sun Bowl, where they canceled the game. That's where LSU should go. Stand in El Paso by yourselves at the airport. Look around for your team you're going to be playing, and no one's there.
Yeah, this is honestly, when I saw this a couple hours ago, how gracious, how noble of Ed Orgeron and LSU to self-impose a bowl sanction for a year where they absolutely suck. How nice of Ed. You want to really show me something, Ed? Tell me that you're self-imposing a bowl ban for next year. How about that? You know what? You know what? I think the next 2 years we're not going to do a bowl. You pick the year where you're already 3-5. You're going to be 3-6 by Saturday night because you're going to lose to Florida too. They're not beating Florida at the Swamp on Saturday. That ain't happening. So they're going to be 3-6. And you're right. They got the dopey clause this year where any team can go to a bowl no matter their record, but they still shouldn't go. But how noble and gracious of Ed Orgeron and the university to self-impose at 3-5, about to be 3-6. Really noble stuff, guys. I hope the NCAA, Scotty, I hope they go down double on them just for doing this shenanigans of self-imposing a bowl ban at 3-5. I hope they hit him with double the whatever it was that they were going to give him.
So did you see that they gave the Ford Frick Award to Al Michaels tonight in baseball?
Hasn't called a baseball game in a while.
Since 1983. I mean, I was a freshman in college. Do you think it took him a while to get around to giving Al the award? It took him a while to...
Now,
you know what? Let's go back in time and find someone to give the award to. How about Al Michaels? He hasn't done it in 35 years.
Now, we love Al. But it has been a long time since Al has called baseball. Now, he did call 7 World Series, I did see. I think he stopped doing baseball day in, day out in 83. He might have did a couple World Series in the 80s as well. I'd have to check that. I'm not 100% sure, but might have did a couple of World Series in there. But you talk about waiting a while. I mean, geez. It's been a long time since Al's done a baseball.
Where do they come up with these things? Like, you know what? What are we going to do today? Let's figure out somebody to give an award to from a long time ago. You know
Speaking
what I mean?
Al, like, so now we know that Al has been taking some Sunday nights off this season. You know, he doesn't do every game anymore. But when he saw Buffalo on the Sunday night schedule in December, you knew that Al was running away from that one. He's going to go play some golf in Florida this weekend. Tirico's doing the game with Collinsworth. Al wanted no part of Western New York on a cold December night. Keep me down at the ranch in Florida.
Did you have a problem with what Collinsworth said about, was it the women? Wasn't it in Pittsburgh that he,
yes.
It was that Wednesday game when they played at 3:40 and he said, you know, in not so many words, like I don't remember exactly word for word what he said, but it was something in the realm of, quote, even the women around here know football and ask great football questions, right? End quote. Wasn't that roughly what he said?
He said he was blown away by female NFL fans in Pittsburgh asking questions, blown away by their football knowledge. Understanding
what's so bad about that?
So well.
He got a lot of heat for that. Like, what is so bad about that? I want to know where, you know, I want to know from the PC police that are out there and all the women got bent up and up in arms, bent out of shape about what he said. Like, what was so bad about that? I thought he was actually saying, you know, he's blown away by even the women and their knowledge of football, right? Like, what's so bad about that? I'm blown away that all the women know tons of football in Pittsburgh and that they all want to talk about football. What's so bad about that? You tell me what it is. What is it, Carver Hyde, that's so bad about that? Because he had to apologize and everything else. And, I mean, I know tons of chicks that love football. I don't have a problem with that at all. I don't have a problem with anything. But what's so bad about saying that you're blown away that they know so much about football? I think it's like encouraging them.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, We bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
So, I'm not interested in getting involved in some embroiled controversy or whatever. I just, when he said it, I didn't think Collinsworth offended. That wasn't offensive to me. I don't know certainly how women think about it, and I respect their football fandom and knowledge. I have a lot of friends that are women that love football and that know a lot about it, and a lot at, you know, even Sports Grid, that are great at betting and great at talking about football. Ariel, et cetera, everyone like that does it, right? I have no problem with anybody. As you know, Carver High, I get along with, you know, everybody, women, men, everyone that works. I get along with a garbage man at work. But I didn't find it offensive. Like, he's like, you know, I'm blown away by the knowledge of all the women that love football in Pittsburgh. What's so bad about that? I never could understand it. I'm like, are you serious? We're going to spend a week embroiled in this, and the guy's got to go on an apology tour to what, save his career? I mean, it's not like he did like Tom Brenneman, like, you know, he basically went off on gays, right? And made a real homophobic statement that cost him his job at Cincinnati, right, with the Reds. And a long tenured run of 30 years, whatever, with his father and himself doing games. And he lost everything. And now he's doing the Roberto Clemente League in Puerto Rico in the winter ball. I mean, to tell you, like, and he's let's face it, the guy's a great announcer, right, doing baseball and NFL. You can't even question that, Carver High, right? And then that bad day on the mic with the hot mic, and he got caught saying it was the blank capital of the world, making fun of, frankly, gays, that he lost everything, right? And now he's doing Puerto Rican Winter League ball. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I'm not sure I'd even want that publicized. That's how bad that is, right? I mean, I think he loves baseball, so he's probably having fun. I can guarantee you, right? But look, Pitt just hit a go-ahead shot with 5 seconds left against Northwestern, too, by the way, and they literally have been trailing this whole game, and they just took the lead 71-70 on Northwestern.
The entire game. I mean, Northwestern has been leading this whole way. They've had a sky 15-point leads, 10-point leads. The entire game, and I think this might be the first lead Pitt's had the entire game with five seconds.
And I got Pitt in 4.5, Chicago. Ooh, and they take the lead on a baseline dunk, too. That's even more impressive. So where was I? All right, so, you know, when they publicized that he got the gig in Puerto Rico, like, I'm not sure. I don't speak for him at all, but I'd probably be like, you know, you don't need to announce this. I'll just come down and do it. You know what I mean? I don't want this to be like a big story or anything. Can I just call the games? Would that be all right? But far be it from me to question his talent on the air. I think the guy's great at what he does, right? I know you know that. Like, he's really good at doing baseball, and he's really good at doing football, right? No one can even argue that. But he had a really bad day. And nowadays, they just fire you, right? There's no suspensions or second chances or anything. They just fire you. Now, you can do other heinous things and keep your job, but going on the air and saying something homophobic or not, like, look at Collinsworth. I mean, what did he say? And that got him in so much trouble. Like, it was just unbelievable to me. Like, it was candy ass. Like, it's not even offensive what he said. Like, are you kidding me? Dude, if they would have literally, I'd have been fired 150 times over for some of the things that have come out of my mouth over the last 35 years. Honestly, Look, I don't know if you heard it, but like some of the shows, like we ran these podcasts right when I first started on Sports Grid. Do you remember we were Carver High just doing like an hour podcast every day for Pharrell on the Bench?
I do remember.
Okay, well, a lot of those shows, if you didn't notice, were old shows, retro Pharrell. Remember, I was running like retro Pharrell shows from the 90s and 2000s and 2010s. A lot of those shows were really old. Well, some of them were really super old from San Francisco and Los Angeles. And back then, literally, you know, you're talking about in the early 90s, there was no real, and Pitt wins at 71-70. There was no real, you know, PC, radio police, obscenity, indecency, hate mongering, FCC all over you type stuff, right? But I mean, the bottom line is when I did the show back in LA and San Francisco, I got away with murder. I mean, I was saying things that were just appalling. If I said them today, I'd be fired in 5 minutes. 5 minutes, I would have been fired out the door, because a lot of times I said stuff and in like even Miami that got me fired in 5 minutes, right? So it amazes me today how it really does amaze me how today you can say nothing without literally nothing without like some kind of troubles coming, right? You're in big trouble, mister. And it's just, they just stop everything that they're doing. If somebody does anything, they just immediately it's just so feeble. The powers that be, they just immediately overreact and fire everyone. Right. I mean, that's what they do, Carver High. You know, it's true.
100% true. It is what it is today, Scotty. You just gotta watch what you say.
No, you don't. I think that, what is next? Every show has to be religious.
Just talk about the games. Talk about the games.
Oh, my God. Did you see the end of that game? Now, who hit that shot? Was that ULM or who hit the shot here?
I'll find out in about 4 minutes.
That was the road team hit that shot.
On stream.
Like, that was, you're way behind. Some kid just hit a half-court bomb from Lamar to beat ULM. And it was on the road, and it was a bomb from like 40 feet out, and he buried it, and they mauled him, his teammates. They're like having sex with him on the court. He hit the greatest shot.
That was way out there. Way out there.
Now look, when I train, right, in every day playing basketball, do you know what I do with the guys that I train with? The last thing we do of the day, when you've shot 100, 200 J's, right? You've shot threes, you've shot every shot on the court. There isn't a shot that we don't work on, right? The last thing we do on the court, when you're dead tired, you've run suicides, you've done everything. You've played one-on-one, full court one-on-one, where you're one-on-one playing full court NBA basketball, like the court's NBA size, and you're running one-on-one against one other guy up and down the court after every shot. You'll lose your mind. It's grueling on you cardio, right? So then you're dead tired, you're breathing, you can't even stand, you're bent over. And what do? We shoot half court shots and wing shots from half court. So a shot from dead out center court, and then a shot from the side at the scorer's table. Like if you were running up the sideline, no time left, and you got to chuck a 50 footer from the side of the court at the scorer's table. And you can't leave until you make both shots. From dead center court and from dead center court on the wing over by the scorer's table. And we do that every day. It's the last shot you got to make. And you can't leave until you make it. So you can sit there and shoot 50 of them until it falls. You have to make it. I can usually make it within 10 shots, both shots. I can usually bury a shot from half court on a dead out center and right at the tip off or on the wing. I can hit that shot because I practice it so much over the years that I know how to heave it. And that's basically, that was the shot that kid just made, was almost a half court shot. Now, I don't know if you saw this or not, but Dame Time is talking about chucking half-court shots this year in an NBA game.
In his range. He says, my range has increased. I can go out to half-court now. I'm good from there.
Did you hear him say that? He's going to start chucking threes from half-court?
he says. He says that I've expanded my range. I can now go all the way out to the half court line, anywhere on the court. I'm good to go. Game time. Let's go.
And I have to tell you, I heave it, right? I heave it with an elbow in, heave, and then I literally full body heave it. He actually just pulls up like a free throw and shoots it with his wrist from half court and buries it all net. They showed him doing it. He hit like five in a row from dead center court at the tip off, right in the circle. He shoots half court and buries the shots. I mean, that guy is just an absolute pimp. What a freak. Scott, you're fired for saying pimp on the air last night. Scott, we're going to have to get rid of you because you talked about a prostitute on the show last night. And there's no talking about hookers on this show. Remember, I told a story last night, or maybe it was on Coast to Coast. I said, I don't know where it was, but the other day I told a story like somebody, I don't even remember what happened, Carver High, you were out or whatever. And I was like, when we used to do the show in Vegas, right, live, and we lived there, a residency, you know, when we lived there for like 10 days. And do the show. And do you remember, like, let's just be honest. We would get off the air at like 11 Vegas time and we'd go down to the bar and there'd be like 100 hookers at the bar.
Everywhere. All
it
over.
It was just everywhere. They were crawling up the walls. They were everywhere. Like, you couldn't even say hi to a woman in Vegas at that hour because you knew that they were a hooker. And be honest, it's true, right? It happened. I'm not making this stuff up. And I mentioned it. I'm like, we got off the air. There was 100 hookers all over. I couldn't even get a glass of ice water. I couldn't even get a Frappuccino from the McDonald's. Remember, I was drinking them Frappuccinos, like 15 of them at a time. That's because I saw that many hookers at once. For all on the bench, kicking ass and taking names everywhere. So, Carver High, a couple things I want to talk about at the very least before we get out of here tonight. One is Ohio State sucks. They get just the red carpet preferential city. I mean, they just get the treatment of love because I got to tell you, here's the deal. I said this today on Coast to Coast. I'm going to say it tonight on the bench. They played one game. I know they have five games they've played, right? They're going to put them in the Big Ten title game against Northwestern. Now, Northwestern is candy ass. They lost to Michigan State, and Michigan State absolutely is mothballs, okay? So Ohio State beat Michigan State recently, okay? 52-12, that was their last game. Now, skip the game that I want to talk about. It's the only game they played, the Indiana game. Then you go back, they beat Ohio State 49-27. They beat Penn State 38-25 in Miserable Valley. And they beat Nebraska 52-17 at the Shoe. So they won at the Shoe against Nebraska, won at the Shoe against Rutgers, won at the Shoe against Indiana, and they won on the road in East Lansing and in Miserable Valley. And Nebraska's awful. They are. Penn State's a joke. This year, surprisingly, Rutgers stinks like always, and Michigan State is mothballs. The Ohio State Buckeyes and their miserable fans, and you can quote me on that, bunch of crybabies. You know what? They played one game the whole season, one, and that was Indiana, and they played them in the Shoe, and they beat Indiana by a touchdown. Now, I'll give you this. I thought the game was more like a 14-point game to me than it was a 7-point game. Indiana just wouldn't go away. You know that, Carver High, that Indiana just kept coming with Penix. He threw for almost 500 yards in the game, right? So what did he throw for, like 491 or something? He went off in that game.
493. He was excellent.
Okay, so a guy throws for 500 yards in a game. I don't care what you say. They're in the game, right? So it, they just kept coming back, and the game was put away, and they just wouldn't die and wouldn't go away. But Ohio State still won the game. And in my opinion, that's the only game they played the whole year. And now they're going to play in a Big Ten title game, and they're going to make the playoff because they're going to beat Northwestern, and then they're going to go play in the playoff. And that means they play six games total, and they get to play for a national championship. I mean, that bottom line is you're in the semifinal. You're playing for a national championship if you win. So you're in, you know, you're in the Final Four. When you make the Final Four in basketball, that's all that matters. They don't even care if you lose. You made the Final Four, right? Everyone always remembers who, you know, you make the Final Four. That's all they care about. And then once you get there, anything goes. You want to win it all, and the three other teams don't, right? But when you go to the four in football, you've made it, right? So Ohio State gets to go to the playoff. You know they're going to go to the playoff because they're going to beat Northwestern. Northwestern lost to Michigan State. I got little kids on my street that can beat Michigan State. They could smoke a doobie and play Nerf football and beat Michigan State in your front yard with trees falling and branches and leaves everywhere and potholes, and they'd still beat Michigan State. You can't deny, Carver High, that Michigan State's awful. They're awful, and they beat Northwestern.
They're a hack team this year. I was stunned on the day that they beat Northwestern because I was high on Northwestern that game. The problem with Northwestern is they can't score. Their defense is good, but they cannot score. So even if they slowed Ohio State down next week, and by slowing Ohio State down, I mean they give up 30 points instead of 50. How is Northwest? I know they're not beating them. How is Northwestern scoring more than 14 points? They never score more than 14 points. So they're going to win six games, and they're going to be in. And it is what it is. Like, we talk about this. We've been talking about this for years. The committee has always been a sham. The four teams is a sham. You've had Brando on 6,000 times yelling about
so
how fraudulent these guys are. You've got the chair is the Iowa AD, and you know, Scotty, that he can't go back to the other ADs in the Big Ten and look them in the face and say, sorry, guys, I couldn't get Ohio State in this year. We all missed out on that check. You know that he's not doing that. He's getting them in. Are they one of the four best teams if we took all the records and threw them away? It just says, who has the four best rosters in college football? Who has the four?
Gentlemen,
and yeah, they probably are.
Gentlemen, my goal was to get Ohio State in. I accomplished that. My other goal while I was here was to convince everyone that Kirk Ferentz isn't a racist. So I've been able to establish two things while I was on this journey to help the Big Ten. A, we got to shed that image that Kirk has developed here in Iowa City. And B, we got to make sure we get Ohio State whatever they need. We got to make sure. Now, remember, Indiana, actually, they lost to them fair and square. No questions asked. They got beat in Columbus like you knew they would. But they covered the 20 in a hook, and I hit that bet. But they, Indiana's lost one game, that game. And then they're highly ranked, right? Fair enough. Yeah. But did you notice they're higher ranked in the AP than they are in the college football playoff poll? Did you notice that?
They are. Well, because Indiana, Scotty, and you know this, Indiana, and I know there's no fans this year, but Indiana doesn't sell tickets to bowl games, and Indiana doesn't bring eyeballs to the television set. So even though Indiana's having a great year, just like Cincinnati's having a great year, and before BYU lost, they're having a great year in Coastal Carolina, those teams don't bring eyeballs to the television set, Scotty, so they don't count in the committee's eyes. They don't count. It's just the teams, you know, your Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, et cetera.
Right. So a lot of good, it did Luke Fickle, my favorite person, it did Luke Fickle to run up the score on everyone in every game that he played. Like, remember, the goal at Cincinnati was to run up the score, run it up, and give them the eye test, give them, like we score 50 a week, and blow everyone out, and that's how you get in. Well, that didn't work either, because you know why?
Well,
because Ohio State could play one game, and they're still going to the college football playoff. I'm done hearing about five games and then the Big Ten championship. I'm done hearing it. They played one game. The Indiana game they played in Columbus was bigger than this Northwestern Big Ten championship game because, in my opinion, and I think you'd back me up on this, they would beat Northwestern Indiana, too. Indiana would beat them. Indiana's better than Northwestern.
Even with Tuttle and no Penix, I think that they would still beat him. Because that kid showed me something at Camp Randall last week. They could win with that kid playing quarterback. Are they as explosive as not having Penix? Of course not. But I think that they could win the game with Tuttle. And your boy Fickell, his problem also, he's got the same issue as Ohio State. He hasn't played in 3 weeks now. He's had two games canceled. Cincinnati hasn't played in forever. So they got that number seven spot a few weeks ago, and they haven't played a game since. So they had to drop them down. But they dropped them down for not playing games, but not Ohio State. Six games they're going to play. Six games, and other teams are going to play 10.
Okay, so it makes me want to hurl. I'm so sick of hearing about Ohio State every day, all day. I'm so sick of him. And you know what, that guy, I want to punch him in the face, that Ryan Day. I don't know what it is about him. I just want to punch him in the face.
I don't
face.
Like him either.
He's like a little narc. What an absolute pee he is. I mean, honestly, I want to beat his face in. I can't even look at him. He makes me sick. Just so we're clear, at least I hope I'm clear tonight with my views of Ohio State and their fans. I just want to be as clear as possible. So the other topic, and I don't care what you think of me. You know what? I don't care. Just hate me all you want. I don't give a rat's ass what you think of me. How's that sound? All right, here's the deal. And trust me when I tell you, that's the exact way I feel. You couldn't hurt my feelings if you tried. I'm leather. Here's the deal. The Yankees are trying to, and I know I wanted to just talk about the Yankees here at the end of the show just to upset people. Because I know talking about the Yankees gets people all bent out of shape. The Yankees never win the World Series anymore, but they're more important than any team in baseball. They are. They're always more, you know, gratifying to talk about than the Dodgers, right? So the Dodgers won the World Series. Congratulations. Asterisk. Anyway, the Yankees are talking to the Pirates about a deal, allegedly, Carver High, for Jameson Shots of Tyone and Josh Bell. They want to get their hands on the power-hitting first baseman from the Pirates and their former number one pick, Tyone, who's back from Tommy John surgery. And then I suggested to you that who would they trade for him? And I said, Clint Frazier is the guy that'll go to Pittsburgh. But I'm sure the Yankees will, instead of Clint Frazier, they're going to give the Pirates, what they're going to give them is a giant leather pouch of eggnog.
And a second pouch just filled with cash. Because that's all they want over there anyway. They're just going to give them a couple bags. Cash considerations, right?
Cash and eggnog. Grandma's famous eggnog mixture of whiskey and milk, right? So I don't know if you've ever seen the car bomb with the milk and the bourbon in
it. I've had plenty of them.
Okay, that's a strong effort. That's the eggnog I'm talking about. They're going to send the Pirates a leather pouch like Robinson Crusoe. They're going to send them and I'm not talking Robinson Cano. I'm talking Robinson Crusoe, a bag of eggnog, a bag of cash for the Pirates' two best players. And then the Pirates will have absolutely zero players on their team. They will have no major league talent on the team at all. They will now become the single A Pittsburgh Pirates.
Well, you've been saying for 2 years, you know it's coming around the corner. They're going to trade Bell. You just know it's going to happen eventually.
Oh, it's automatic.
You just knew it was going to happen. At least maybe it'll be to the Yankees, and you can still watch Bell night in, night out. But here's what I think.
I like the Yankees.
Now, I know, I'm sure you did this story the last 2 days while I was out, but did you see the one where, you know, the Yankees are, they're, quote, pinching pennies here this offseason? They don't have any money to spend, and they're, you know, they're tight purse strings, so they're not in the mix for any free agents or anything like that. So that would kind of play into this story, because it looks like Cashman maybe is trying to get a couple of guys, you want to say, on the cheap. Like, Bell didn't have the best season. Like, I know it was only 60 games. Bell wasn't great. He kind of, you know, his numbers were down this year. And Tyone's coming off an injury. So people think that Cashman's trying to buy low on these two guys. Even buying low for those two players, you got to give them something. You would assume that something might be Clint Frazier. I think it's a bag of cash because that's all the Pirates ever want is they want to just keep filling those, keep putting money in that safe and not taking it out. So just keep shoving the money in there like Scrooge McDuck. But hey, if Cashman can make that work, you see, here's why Bell would be great for the Yankees, Scotty. The Yankees have no left-handed bats. They have no lefty power. And you put Bell in Yankee Stadium down the right field line, and that could be a dangerous thing. Real dangerous.
Right. Well, we'll see, right? I just wanted to look at the college basketball because I've been, you know, watching it all night or whatever. Oregon at the half up 47-35 on Florida A&M. Washington at the half up on Seattle 37-22. Florida State beats Indiana by 2 in overtime. Indiana covers the 3. Clemson blew out Maryland 67-51. Valpo blew out Southern Illinois Edwardsville and covered. Pitt steals the game at Evanston against Northwestern 71-70 on a baseline dunk. First time they led the whole game, I'm pretty sure, right? Loyola of Chicago blew out Chicago State. They're winless. Wisconsin, a winner by 11 over Rhode Island. Those were all the heavies. All right, so my bad. I thought the show was over because I'm still mad at the refs at Florida State. I'm still very angry. I won't sleep tonight. So here's the deal. So I can go through a few more of these games. Cincinnati 78-73 over Furman. Providence by 9 over TCU. Miami of Ohio by 10 over Western Illinois. Richmond by 10 over Northern Iowa. And the spread in that game was 10, so it pushed. Michigan over Toledo, 91-71. So they covered the 12. I hit that game. I hit Texas Tech to win and Abilene Christian. I bet on Abilene Christian getting 16. They covered. They lost 51-44. Also, Arizona, I laid 17.5. They won by 25 over Bakersfield. VCU, 95-59 over North Carolina A&T. Let's see the other ones that mattered to me over here. Let's see. Marshall, 84-72 over Charleston. Evansville beat Eastern Illinois by 3. Let's see. Lamar on that 3 bomb, 63-60 over Monroe. Chattanooga beat Bellarmine. I think that's how you call them. I don't even know the school. I've never heard of it. Georgia Tech, 75-64 over Nebraska. Louisiana Tech beat Southeast Louisiana 78-69. Texas 74-53 over Texas State. I got, they just missed it. They were getting 19, and they lost by 21. Damn. That was close, right? Missouri by 9 over Liberty. I had Liberty plus 9.5. Cover. Santa Clara beat Poly by 7. Pepperdine by 12 over Cal. Washington State by 3 over Idaho. They didn't cover. UCLA blew out San Diego, 83-56. Bruins cover. Boise by 4 over BYU. Wyoming blew out Denver. Everything else was canceled. There you go. All right, so tomorrow some Rams. Pat, sounds good. I'll see you at 4 on Coast to Coast. Good night.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why My Lowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help you save.
Offer valid in-store only 6/19 through 6/25. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.